Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Well, this morning is such a joy for us as a church family because we now have two recorded pastors under the same roof here in the fact of Fairmount Friends. And we are here to celebrate what Pastor Andrew has done through his schooling and training and mentoring through Indiana Yearly Meeting, along with Pat Byers, who is the superintendent of Indiana Yearly Meeting. We have Pat and his whole family that's here as well. Missing one, though, right? We're missing two this morning. But anyway, a joy to have them with us. And then Pastor Andrew, you've got a lot of your family here representing as well, which is really, really neat. If you're here with Pastor Andrew's family, would you just stand real quick? That is pretty cool. Yeah, that's awesome. That's pretty neat. Pat Byers has been a friend and a leader in the Indiana Yearly Meeting for multiple years, but I remember the first time that I met you, Pat, was at Quaker Haven. And at Quaker Haven, I was pushing one of my kids on the swing set. And Pat came up, the most friendly sort of a guy that you could have met. I'm like, this guy is so friendly. I don't even know him, but he's super intentional to engage with me. And I've experienced nothing less than the first time. From the first moment that I've met you, you have engaged and been joyful and been intentional to connect. And that has been something that's left such a lasting impression upon me. When Indiana Yearly Meeting was transitioning from Doug Shoemaker to whoever the candidates applying would be, I was in Pat's corner and may have made a phone call or two or an email or two, not that I have any influence, but was just backing this guy to be the leader of Indiana Yearly Meeting, and I'm so grateful that he is. Pat and Andrew together, we're going to have this ceremony here this morning, and so I want to turn this service over now. It's coming to Pat, and Pat's going to come forward, and he's going to share some things about the recording process and about Pastor Andrew. So, Fairmount friends, can we give Pat Byers a warm welcome this morning?
All right. Well, there's so many things that flood through my head, even as I sit there in the seat thinking about how to start with my remarks here. But I guess the thing that I land on is just how thankful I am to get to be a part of days like today. And to celebrate what God is doing, both in the life of Andrew, but also in the life of Fairmount Friends. And it's evident that the Holy Spirit is on the move in this, not just in this room, it's in this community. God's doing crazy cool things in this community because of the work that he's doing amongst you. And I'm so grateful for that. I also want to share, even as we're moving through the worship this morning, some of the things that God just touches our hearts with. I spent, it was just a couple of minutes. One of my boys, he works for the Parks Department, and he's got to do 1 hour on Saturdays and Sundays, not every weekend, but on a lot of those weekends. So I got up to take him to work this morning, and he came back, and we just spent a little bit of time in his room worshiping this morning. And to carry that worship over with you all here today has been a true blessing. Recording, I don't know how familiar all of you are with the Friends, but we kind of always do things a little differently, don't we? We might do something that a lot of other churches do, but we call it something different. Or we might completely do something outside here where other churches might be doing things differently. But recording is actually, it's if there is an ordination process in the Friends movement, it is recording. Basically, what we're doing is we're recording publicly recording the gifts of ministry in an individual. And you all, the process starts with the home church. So you all came to Indiana Yearly Meeting first and said, we see gifts in Andrew Hale. And we want to celebrate those gifts, and we want to see him be equipped and moved towards what it might take to actually pastor well, not just this church, but in the yearly meeting. And so that's what we are doing today. We're celebrating that. But I'm also here not just to do that and to celebrate alongside Andrew, but also to represent our yearly meeting. And our yearly meeting, it's 50 churches that work together to do a whole lot of different things. And I want to highlight just a few of those things. And as I travel at the different churches, I call it the state of the yearly meeting. So just a couple of things, if you'll bear with me, that I would like to share with you. We've come off some really life-giving sessions at Quaker Haven just a few weeks ago. We heard reports from affiliate organizations like Friends United Meeting, Evangelical Friends Mission, Barclay College, Kaleo Academy, and Josiah White's. We also heard a report from Brandon Dennis about a master plan that he and the camp board have been working on for some potential plans to serve our kids and campers better, to serve all of us better. And we heard from John Mahanji, this might be a name that's familiar with you, a longtime friend of Indiana Yearly Meeting, about the ministry in East Africa and how God is moving there. And if you're not familiar with him, lean into some things that the yearly meeting puts out there. There's wonderful things that are happening in that part of the world that God's doing. It was exciting to hear him speak, and one of those in particulars that God's doing in that place in the world is they're putting together a board of African friends, adding leadership to a mobilization effort to see African friends move themselves into places of mission work. So they are moving into different parts of the world as missionaries. And so this board is mobilizing and equipping missionaries to spread the gospel in other parts of the world. And we worshiped, we prayed, we feasted, and we dreamt about what the future could hold for the body of Christ, that is Indiana Yearly Meeting, and that was at our sessions. We also celebrated the fact that we set a goal last year to fundraise $120,000. We budget a year in advance, so we were raising money for the 2023 budget, and through some gifts that folks were able to give during the sessions, we exceeded that goal. And we kicked off the campaign for the 2024 fundraising, and at this time, we have raised over $21,000 in gifts and pledges for 2024. Which I'm so excited about. And I want to acknowledge some of the above and beyond giving that you all here, Fairmount Friends, put forth for that 2023 campaign. I sit on an advancement committee in their meetings, and let me tell you, you are setting an example of how churches are involved in our annual projects to make sure that the programs of the yearly meeting continue to exist. So I want to say thanks. Thanks to you for that sacrifice that you make, but thanks to others in IYM too who are able to maintain and bolster the essential programs like our camping program, the adult curriculum that we produce, and fun positions like the ones that we've created in this past year. We did have, I vacated one assistant superintendent position, and now we have three part-time positions, and that fundraising effort helps to move those positions forward, one in missions, one in multiplication, church planting. We're moving towards planting churches, and also one for youth and camping. So again, I say thank you. And one of those essential programs that I list here with youth and camping, we're celebrating the fact that we had 576 campers come through Quaker Haven this past summer. When Andrew and I were working closely together programming those camps, we were really excited to get above 500, and we did 576 over the course of this past summer. And so if we take a step back for just a moment and consider what that means, that's 576 young people that get to partake of that ministry, that unique Quaker Haven ministry in that camp setting where a lot of their distractions are removed and they just get to focus on their walk with Christ. That's exciting. Thank you for being a church that supports this ministry and sends kids to camp. And when I speak about our yearly meeting, what keeps me excited, or one of the things that keeps me excited and motivated, is the fact that as we come alongside one another, both as churches and as individuals, I continue to see how much better we are when we work together. There's so much more we can accomplish than what we can do separately. Please continue to pray for our other churches, for our yearly meeting, that we together could follow the call of Christ to maintain our efforts. And this is part of our mission, to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this day of celebration. Lord, there's so much to celebrate, so much to cover, so much to think about. Lord, we're not even going to be able to cover it all in the time that we have here together. But God, thank you most of all for the work that you do in our lives, for the ways that you show up, for the ways that you move us, for the ways that you shape us, for the ways that you motivate us, the ways that you encourage us. God, may this time this morning be all of these things and more. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned before, my part of the service, and I'm so glad that I get to be the first one up here rather than the second one when we really start to smell that food coming. But as I mentioned before, I wanted to talk a little bit about the yearly meeting, and then I want to celebrate. And today we celebrate the fact that here's a man who's answered a call. And let's be clear, that call is not just to shepherd a certain group of people. It's also a call to learn, to grow, to be molded and shaped as a leader who is endeavoring to usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We, as a Friends movement, we've always emphasized the presence in the midst. I don't know how many of you have been at other Friends churches, but a lot of times there's a depiction, a picture. It's actually called the presence in the midst of the old Quaker churches where the men are sitting on one side, the women are sitting on the other side, and there's a presence of Christ that is there right in the middle. In fact, this presence, this Holy Spirit presence in the midst, is not just what we do on Sunday morning, but we've structured our entire structure around this concept, not just in the way we worship, but also in the way we do business. Decisions are made at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We're to lay down our human desires and our agendas and allow the Holy Spirit to move through us collectively. And it's that presence that prompts us to speak, allowing that same presence to speak throughout the space and become even more evident. This leads to a holy communion that nudges us collectively towards decision making. And let's not forget that this presence is not just about decisions like the color of the paint or the carpet. It's also about those deep-seated, soul-altering moments when God is unveiling something new or fresh in our lives. Can you remember a moment like this in your life? Our yearly meeting speaker from last year, a man named Paul Anderson, an author and professor from George Fox University, he wrote a book called Following Jesus, and it's one that we had to read as a part of our recording process. But he writes about a moment that he experienced like this during an open worship in a Friends church in Glasgow, Scotland. And here's what he says. He says, "By now I was being drawn into kind of a spirit-led mental dialogue in which questions demanding to be addressed seemed to emerge one after another. As I reflected on what really made the difference, I realized it wasn't primarily the music or the speaker or anything external. What truly made the difference was coming fully into the presence of God and seeing myself in the light of God's truth. God used human instruments, but mainly as a means of Christ reaching the human soul. When this happens, our masks and our facades fall away, and we face seeing ourselves as we really are. Truth is always convicting, and as we consider our true conditions, we find the Spirit of truth faithful to convict us of sin and of righteousness, from John 16, verses 8 to 11. All of this heightens our dependence on God and causes us to draw more fully on His love, grace, and empowerment. We find ourselves changed women and men and children and spiritually better prepared to be Christ's agents of redemptive work in the world. Now that's transforming worship. And is this not the kind of experience that we're all trying to have? Is this not the very thing we hope we foster each time we gather for worship, even for business, Bible study, life group? My hope is we're always seeking this kind of transformation. Is this not the kind of movement we celebrate as pastors, ministers, and other leaders are equipped and sent out to do the work of our Lord? It's about transformation, isn't it? This is why I feel it's so appropriate to talk about ushering the presence of the Holy Spirit today. As we celebrate in this service, as Andrew, who will stand before us in just a bit and give you some of his own words about his journey and how God is leading him, this is why we're here. In John chapter 14, verses 25 to 27, Jesus says this: "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." See, as Jesus speaks in this passage, he knows his time on earth is nearing an end. As any good leader would do, Jesus is beginning to prepare his disciples about his departure. He's working on a succession plan of sorts, isn't he? The header for this piece of John 14 is, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus makes this promise, perhaps we can look at this short piece of scripture as a sort of a guide sheet. Not just for pastors, because we're all ministers. We all have responsibilities in sharing the good news of the gospel. And these words can be points of encouragement for pastoral leaders. First, Jesus says, "Even though I'm going away, I am not leaving you alone. You will not be alone. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, sent by the Father, will be with you. And what will this Spirit do? He will teach you. He will remind you of the words of Jesus himself. He will offer peace." How many of us need an extra measure of peace today? So don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. And again, these words are for you, Andrew, but they're also for all of us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. As scary things come, and they do at times, we have nothing to fear. And I'm speaking this for myself as much for anyone in the room. As those who have come before us, they have ushered the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are reminded today of our role in ushering that same presence in the lives of others. And we acknowledge the special calling that God has placed on leaders like Andrew and Brock and so many others who have followed that call to be pastoral leaders within our churches. So today, Andrew, we commission you in that special calling as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and as an agent ushering in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Today we reiterate, because we've done this once before. I don't know if you know this. We did this at yearly meeting sessions. Just he wasn't able to be there because he was about to have a baby. So we got to see him on video, So I'm glad to be able to do this here in person today. But we reiterate and record the gifts of ministry that God has given you as a carrier of the gospel through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the efforts that you put forth in preparing and in doing the ministry here at Fairmount Friends in this community in Grant County and in your home. We celebrate you today. We celebrate the good things that God continues to do through you as you continue to follow his call. And I would like to close my piece of our time here together this morning by asking Andrew to come and Brock. And I would ask maybe the men's life group to come as well. And ministry and oversight, if you'd feel like coming as well. But just lay some hands on Andrew and let's pray a prayer of commissioning on him. So would you come? And I'll lead in prayer. And as you're coming, after this prayer, I want you to know that I will present a certificate of recording to Andrew, and then he's going to come and he's going to say a few words. Let's pray here together. Father, we stand with this man of God here this morning. We thank you for the work that you've done in his heart, the work that you've done in his life, for all those who have poured into him at different times. Lord, for the ways that he reflects what you've placed in him, reflects your presence, reflects that Holy Spirit that has called him and equipped him as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we offer ourselves to come alongside, to encourage, to equip, to speak words of truth as he continues to endeavor in this calling that you have placed upon him. So, Father, we don't just stand with him today. We stand with him every day, knowing that you are continuing to equip him and use him and offer him in ways of ministry. So God, we pray a special commissioning, anointing, and equipping upon him here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So this morning we officially, I don't know if it was official a couple of weeks ago, but in the presence of Fairmount Friends, we record Andrew Hale as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Indiana Yearly Meeting. I think that's worth a round of applause. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks, Fairmount Friends. Just grateful. I wasn't sure coming in how this morning was going to go, and it's gone different than expected. But it's been good, and it's just neat to be able to have this. Not that this means everything, but to see this, it's just special and powerful. But even more so to be surrounded by men and by M&O, as well as you all. Just grateful. Grateful to be a part of it. Thanks to the family for being here. It means a lot. So as Pat said, a piece of what I get to share today is just highlights of my life and my story, as well as then hopefully a challenge for all of us as we move into the rest of today, as well as into the rest of our lives. And so as far back as I can remember, I have been a rule follower and a people pleaser. Yes? Oh yeah. So I allowed others to dictate, direct, and decide what the best directions and decisions were for me most often. As a child, this was helpful, I think, to my parents, except for the fact that my mother continues to claim that my sole goal as a child was to conquer my mother. Did I succeed? No. Perfect. And she continues to tell me if the need arises, she could still take me down. And so, there you go. Growing up with my family, I grew up on a corn and soybean farm, and having been raised as a lover of the black and gold, nobody could tell me a better environment to grow up in, and no school could rise above the glory of Purdue University. And even then, even when going to Purdue, I went up to go into aviation. I was accepted to the School of Aviation. I was uncertain about the trajectory of my life. So even, isn't that common? We think we have a direction or a decision, and then we're like, I think, well, that's, well, we're going this way, so let's figure it out. And so just the trajectory of life made a quick pivot after getting involved with Campus Crusade for Christ at Purdue, and re-met Ethan Hall, and was in that time at McCutcheon Hall, and then Tarkington Hall, spent my time there. And so in my time at Purdue, I developed personally, I developed in my faith with Jesus, I developed in ministry and skills in those ways, to the point that I elected to change my major from aviation to religious studies. Anybody know that Purdue had a religious studies program? I did not either, but I quickly learned that. And so as I was in this time of transition, trying to figure out what is it that I'm supposed to do, what is it I'm supposed to be enjoying, what is it I'm supposed to be speaking or living out, I just wasn't sure. And so I switched to religious studies with a couple different minors. And Purdue really, there's a reason you probably haven't heard of Purdue's religious studies program. It's not really the focal point or emphasis of Purdue. But it allowed me to be around a bunch of guys, a bunch of ladies, a bunch of people who just have so much professionalism, so much to bring, so much just emphasis. I've got buddies and friends that fortunately are sprinkled around the world, or really mainly across the United States, and so it's neat to be able to call them up and ask questions, or hey, can you help me with this, or hey, what about this? It's just neat to be able to have those spaces and places and pieces to be involved with. In my time at Purdue, I also interned with Western Yearly Meeting, which is another church association or district, and I was at the time, Pat was employed there, and so I interned under Pat for 3 years and fell in love with the work to pull off summer camp with excellence. In the midst of that time, Pat was transitioning to Indiana Yearly Meeting, and so he encouraged Western to hire me part-time, and so that's kind of how we led into working in summer camp together. And after a couple years of doing that, of being excited about 500 kiddos at camp, and we know that numbers aren't the goal, but numbers are people, and people have stories. And so it's significant to know there was 500, now 576 stories that we were involved with and connected to. And so after several years, I believe God was telling me to step away from time with Western, to separate myself from the ministry of Quaker Haven, not because it was bad or different. It was just that God had wanted me to be freed up from such a connection to Quaker Haven and the ministry there. There was more out there than just summer camp ministry to life. As much as there's 5 to 7 weeks of summer camp, you know, there's another 45 weeks out of the year. And so is there more ministry to be done in other places? And so it was a step of faith for me. I would argue even a larger step of faith for my wife, as we were stepping away from it without knowing what was next. We didn't have a job lined up. We didn't have, you know, we had a couple different folks we sought counsel from, and they said, if you got to deliver pizzas for a while, you deliver pizzas. You know, whatever you needed to do to figure out and buy your time until there was clarity on what was to come. And so as we found and gone through our time and transition into Fairmount Friends, we had the sense of there were echoes of the story of Abraham and Sarah, and just not knowing what was next or where they were going, but being willing to say yes, being willing to be open to how God might lead. And so Jessica has always been a trusting person and willing to speak her mind. And in that time, she did choose and place immense trust in me and the calling I receive. And so thank you for trusting in that. I think probably in-laws are even more like, wait, we said yes to marrying him and now he's quitting his job? Like, should we have said yes to this? So with knees knocking and fingers trembling, we chose to believe the Lord and he would make the path clear, and that's what connected us to Fairmount Friends. They had just begun a search for associate pastor, and things clicked, and clicked so much that it was definitely not something that we could have come up with as far as a plan. There was a position here with Madison Grant that my wife stepped into and actually had an offer before we even had gotten an offer from the church, just as there was a movement of the Spirit saying, we want you here, we want you in these places and spaces. And so while in the pastorate here, as there's been so much that I've learned, there's so much that it continues to look forward to learn and enjoy and experience along with you, to drink in the realities of life in small town USA, to celebrate with flour and with grease and all that's to come here in about a month and a half with James Dean Weekend. But I find myself becoming more alive in relationships. I find myself becoming more alive in my faith. And I think I have changed more in the last 4 years than I could have hoped for as a little boy and as a young man. I had dreams of becoming pieces of who I get to be today. But to be fortunate to live some of those realities out brings awe and just appreciation for the Lord, the way that he continues to move and speak. Just have gratefulness in my spirit for how he has brought us here and how we continue to be planted here in this community. And there's so much more I dream for and hope to witness in my life, the lives of neighbors, and the lives of our communities. So a couple folks I just want to make sure I acknowledge, and there's so many more that I love dearly. We could probably be here all day naming folks off, but just here locally with Brock and Alyssa Meyer, just thank you for the ways you bring leadership and guidance to Jessica and I, and to Bud and Carla Shelton and the ways that they love on us, Dan and Vicky Carey for the ways they lead, Todd and Terry Stroop, and just the grounding and the Quaker background as well as in leadership here, Morris Kelsey, and just the background, the family history, but just loving and encouraging. Thank you. And there's so many more, as I said. I want to thank my family, Jim and Luann Hale, Mom and Dad, just for raising me up. And I knew this was going to happen. And just raising Morgan, Natalie, and I, and the entire Hale family, the Peacock side, the Ryan family, grandfather and Janice and Uncle Greg, thanks for being here. As well as in the Kellum clan as well, all of those folks. The entire Toll and Hensley family, just the time to be able to be with y'all and enjoy and be able to be my quiet self and be silly sometimes and just to enjoy camping and time out in a way and asking questions and having thoughts and conversations. It's just been helpful. And then Jessica. Sorry, honey. Thank you for supporting all that we get to do and enjoy to get to do, and the challenges that Kaylin brings and the joy and excitement that she brings. And then, of course, Warren, as he's been born in the last 2.5 weeks. I know it's been difficult. I know it's been a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings. Just thank you. I love you. And then there's this Jesus guy. Just grateful to be able to be here, to be able to be where we're at, to be able to be up front, even here this morning, is just a gift, and just grateful. As we are able to connect with you all and to spend time in relationship as he continues to move in my spirit, and hopefully you all are experiencing similar ways or even just different ways. And if you're not, please, we want to help spark and spur that in you. And I think ultimately my job is to develop relationships, with individuals, with families, with people, and just to love people well. And so since Jessica and I have moved to the Fairmount area, we've made many life-changing decisions. We've experienced heartache and triumph. And so we gained a precious and amazing little girl named Kaylin Jane and a rambunctious and strong little boy named Warren Arthur. And in the midst of all of this differentness and difficulty and excitement and fun, we have understandings of how the Lord might lead us into the future, how he might move in us here and now. And so we wait expectantly for Jesus to move, and we seek to join him in his kingdom building. And so that's what we're committed to. That's something that I hope that has been conveyed from my words and my actions. So I've got four passages I want to read, and I really just want them to stand for themselves, but they bring purpose, passion, and power to my being, and I share them with you here this morning. Proverbs 18:20-21. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. James 4:14. Who are you to talk about tomorrow when all you've been given is today? Life is a vapor. It is here, and then it is gone. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And for those who have hearts committed to Jesus, we have hope, we have a promise. It's not just I'm gonna hope and breathe and maybe things will work out okay, but it's that we have a hope and a promise and a God and a leader who we get to say yes to. Revelation 21:4-5, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And so as I consider the ramifications of these passages, I'm floored by the ferocity and freedom that each of those passages profess. I'm grounded by the reverberating strength that hovers underneath these words. And so I knew entering the recording process that it would be a challenge, both in, of course, the classwork, the material, and education, but as well as figuring out the scheduling conflicts. How is this going to work? How are we going to get this? How are we going to figure out? Caitlin's got to be here. I've got to be here. We got to get some sleep in the midst of that somewhere. And I knew that we would work together and we would figure it out, and yet it was a challenge. And I don't think that's a surprise to anyone here. There's so much of life that you all have that I look forward to experiencing. But I do want to lay out a lot of the pieces that I've been juggling the last year and a half, 2 years, not to say, hey, look at all I've done, but to acknowledge that there's so much that we all are handling and that we get to say yes to Jesus and we have to bring our best. And so from working full-time for the church, taking on two separate part-time jobs, one with Indiana Yearly Meeting and one with the Youth Sports League, volunteering with Campus Life, Main Street Fairmount, the Indiana Yearly Meeting Christian Ed Committee, the summer camp planning team, writing some teen Quaker curriculum, officiating memorials and weddings, some late nights and early mornings taking those classes, consuming content like books and podcasts, having a child at home with another on the way, on top of home projects and trying to lead my home and family. It's been a lot of stuff. And like I said, these two last 2 years have required my best, my absolute best. And there's plenty of examples where it has not been my best. Plenty of times where I didn't bring it, where I fell behind, I forgot something, I failed to execute, whatever it might be. So many examples of those areas of life. And yet, I'm learning to be unmoved emotionally when those shortcomings rear their heads. I'm able to see the imperfection and not excuse it, but to receive it, to learn from it, and then to lead with it. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me.'" And I share this passage as to launch into the last piece of what I have to say, but also as two different words of encouragement or reminder. This was our passage for our summer camp ministry this past summer. And Pastor Brock, I don't know if you know this, but you actually inspired that passage and that theme. We went to Taylor University for our TLC day, and you wrote a letter to me, and I still have a hold of that letter. And in it, you talked about that there's more than you know. And so more than you know was our theme for this year, and this passage just echoes that, because we're saying, Jesus, you have grace, and grace, it is, Jesus, your grace is sufficient. God, that any power I have is made perfect in my, any power you have is made perfect in weakness. I get to boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. I think this speaks true of all of us as followers of Jesus, that this is true of all of us. We don't get to just do whatever we want, but if we are under the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there's some stuff that we can't help but do. There's some stuff that we can't help but to say yes. I believe there is more in each and every one of you than you know, and I mean that. You really do. You have experienced more with Jesus than you realize, and he has put so much more into making you more like the man or woman he created you to be than you know. So don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt what Jesus is doing. We can doubt. We have the freedom to do that. Go to him with those things, those worries, those concerns, those fears, those angers. He'll take them, and he's going to love you. I don't know where I am. So God is calling for your best, and he desires to give you another helping of hope, to be hope healers. And perhaps this season of life has needed to be a no. You know, there's seasons of life. It's just true that there's times where things are happening. And maybe your no opens the door for someone else to say yes. Maybe your yes requires you to bring that next layer of a disciplined life. Perhaps you know in your very being saying yes to something that you have to say yes to. You can't help but say yes to it, and you know that it's going to cause something else to fall apart. It's going to feel like it's going to break the wagon that you're carrying and hauling behind you because there's so much that's on your shoulders. But yet, we have to say yes to that thing and figure out what it is that I need to release. Maybe it means shouldering more responsibility, putting on that next pack, carrying that next bag, and maybe in the midst of that, what he wants to do is for you to realize that you can't carry any of it. It means recognizing the need and knowing that no one else is coming, that we are difference makers who get to make a difference. And people, this is a message I don't want you to miss. You have stirrings in your soul that are meant to be messed with. And I say that knowing that almost that lands too short of what I really want to say. There's stirrings in you. Don't let those fall. Don't let those dwell. Don't let those become dormant. But do something with them. I want to help you do that. I'm not going to save all the answers, but I want to encourage you. I want to know that this community is different because of you. This community is different because of what we get to do. So don't watch and wish for life to be different. No one wants to be on the sideline, not really. Don't we dream of being on the field in those big moments? And if we don't dream, what is filleting our fire? What is trapping us in our tremors? We must not let fear force itself upon us. I know that fear is real. Fear is probably the number one factor in how I make decisions in life, and I don't want that to be the case anymore. So instead of it filleting me, I'm going to work to fillet that. So I tell y'all, all is well in heaven. In the midst of fear, whatever you're carrying, there's a God, there's a king on a throne, and he's not trembling. He's not sure what's going to happen next. He's not thinking, oh, I hope they're okay. He's in it. All is well in heaven. God's not fretting or fearing. He's on the throne. He is the best king, the best Lord, the best father you could ever have. And he always offers his best. And he demonstrates this by choosing to work through you. He elects to affect change in our environment by the way of people. And it is beautiful. It's grinding, and maybe even it's blinding. Like, whoa, what just happened? But I believe that God is alive and active. And I would ask the question, are we? Are we alive and active? And I would say yes. As a church family, we are alive and active, as Pastor Pat was saying, as Pastor Brock has alluded to the last few weeks. And yet we know that even as we are alive and as we are active, we know that there is still yet more to do. So maybe it's knowing you've got that stirring in your soul to go coach something. Maybe you've got a stirring in your soul to get involved with the town through Main Street or through the town board. Maybe it's a school board. Maybe it's in the school building. Maybe you can't physically do it, but you can fiscally free someone. Maybe you can flip homes to fill our community with houses that are not falling into disrepair. Maybe it's going out of your way to employ that person, to give them a place in your life, to speak into them. So my hope, my goal, my endeavor for us as a church family is to let our creative juices flow like rivers of living water. And so I say yes. I choose life to the full. We have decisions to be made, and what decision will we make? So let's say yes to Jesus. Pat, I'll invite you back up. Brock, are you coming up?
Yeah, how about a little round of applause for Pastor Andrew? You can come down here and join me. And we as a church family want to give you this. We had our men's group sign this as well. With our men's group, man, we have done some pretty cool things. Like, we've shot some guns and ride four-wheelers, and we've tried our best to disciple you in the most godly ways possible. But to really bring forth, I believe, some of those really strong leadership capabilities, and we're seeing those, and I think they're being demonstrated in the way that you communicated this morning. We're going to go share a meal together as a church family, and we want to go continue the celebration downstairs. And I want to ask Pat if you'll come forward and just kind of tie a bow on this. Andrew, would you stand in the middle of us and just pray a blessing on our pastor as well as on our meal? Pat, can you do that? It's a double blessing here.
I think I can do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that we celebrate here today. Thank you that we celebrate the work that you have done in the life of Andrew Hale and his family and in this church, in the ways that those who call Fairmount Friends home come alongside one another and equip one another and help to shape and mold one another and encourage one another. Father, and we also celebrate your provision. We thank you for this food that we are about to receive. We pray that it would be blessed to nourish us, but even more so that the conversation around the tables would bless our hearts as well. So, Father, we thank you for all of this and more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.